on the money. I mean, essentially the major gap right now is what we call integrating training, training to connect the seams between the various parts of the system. I mean, the ballistic missile defense system is getting bigger and more complicated with each passing year. It's a network of radars and interceptors that would shoot a threat missile. It's all around the world. It's both on land and at sea. Much of it is cutting-edge technology that was developed centrally at the Missile Defense Agency. And as more of this capability is fielding, the focus needs to move from developing new capability and new fancy gadgets and such to preparing to operate the system. And when you do that, training becomes critical because the system, as you said, must work together in a realistic way, and it must work together as a system. This is critically important for this system because the time to react is short, 30 minutes or less usually from the time when a bad guy tries to shoot something at us, and then we have to actually shoot back.
You write, a joint staff instruction sets out tenets of joint training, including training the way you operate, and DoD guidance requires synchronization of training among the services and combatant commands. So this is a situation where they have the right idea, but the execution is a little lacking?
It's an ironic situation in the Department of Defense because they're very good at unity command, but there's lots of players. And in this case, you've got everyone from the Joint Staff setting policy to the U.S. Strategic Command who's synchronizing the planning, the regional combatant commanders who would be in charge in an actual fight. Then you've got the Missile Defense Agency, who I mentioned, who's developing these systems. And then you've come down to the military services, the actual folks that would operate them and are usually responsible for providing trained and equipped forces. The real issue is it's not clear who's in charge for setting standards and identifying what it takes to train all these disparate organizations and bring them together so that you can be confident that you have everyone trained in a way that would allow them to operate the system successfully.
I am going to guess that you recommend that somebody needs to own this. What sense did you get, if any, as far as who should own it among all of those potential stakeholders that you just mentioned?
We explored that. I mean, there's different ways to do it. I think the who is important, but the authority may be as important. But whoever you give it to, you've got to make it clear in the guidance and such that they have the authority, the juice, to set these standards and follow up on them.
I'm sorry. Please finish.
No, I mean, that's basically it.
In the work that you've done, in the studies that you've done at DOD, has that proven to be more oftentimes the challenge is that it's not so much who gets ownership, but whether they have the autonomy to actually execute?
See it all the time. Absolutely. And DOD's a big matrixed organization, lots of different players involved. You have the services who very often have a lot of the responsibility, but may or may not actually be in charge if something were to happen, and they have to work together. And in this case, it gets even more complicated because you could work across various regional boundaries. So this one turns into a Rubik's Cube very, very fast. So the authority, we think, is very important. Choosing who it is, I mean, that matters, but giving them the authority to basically say, here's what it takes to provide adequate integrating training. You know, what's enough? When we looked back at the training that had happened over the last couple of years, we looked at 45 different exercises. Only seven of them really involve the three main layers, the combatant commanders, the operations centers, and the tactical units. The others were much smaller and didn't involve everyone. So, and pretty much everyone at DOD agrees there needs to be more training to connect these seams, but there's no underlying standards to say you need to do this. This is how much you need to do it, that kind of thing.
Is this a situation where it is something that somebody there can act on, or does some kind of structure have to be put in place for this decision-making process about who gets this and how to make sure they have the autonomy they need?
Now, we think when we give in the report a couple of examples of other organizations in training and other things where they faced this problem and identified someone to sort of take the lead on setting standards, and you know, when we followed up with it, it's actually worked pretty well. It's never going to be perfect. But we think there's practical steps DOD can take on this.
So if there is such a thing as not being too difficult to implement within the context of implementing something at DOD, this should be one of those not too difficult ones, it sounds like.
I think the actual operation could be quite difficult, but the setting the standards for what it takes to provide adequate training and following up on that is a management challenge, not necessarily beyond that.
And that's exactly where I was